Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Why don't you find Psalm 104 tonight? We'll start there. Psalm 104, and I want to talk to you tonight about this, your daily meditation. In other words, what are you thinking on, or what are you meditating on during the day? You know, we got a whole life going on the inside of us. You know, all the busyness on the outside. Well, there's busyness on the inside, too. And that's what we got to really watch, is what's going on inside there, amen? And so I want to talk to you about this, because without getting that right, your life won't be blessed like it should be, and God won't be able to do the things that He wants to do. Because, you know, we're all meditate. It's just a matter of what we're meditating on, you know. Let me talk to you about, maybe we're talking about meditation a little bit, you know, so people understand. But there's a difference between Bible meditation and world meditation. World meditation, you sit around and you try to empty yourself of all self-consciousness. With some people, that doesn't take long. Anyway, you know, reach some kind of nirvana, you know, where you empty yourself of all thought. Well, Bible meditation is just the opposite of that. Bible meditation is filling yourself with something.
Amen.
It's not emptying yourself of something. It's filling yourself with something. It's filling yourself with the Word. Amen. And, you know, God told Joshua, He said, the way to success is that you meditate in the book of the law day and night. And the psalmist repeated that in Psalm 1, where he said, blessed is the man that doesn't walk after the counsel of the ungodly, but he meditates the word day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the waters.
Amen.
And so, if we don't get this area of our life, it doesn't mean we're not going to heaven. It just means we may be miserable on a trip. You know what I'm saying? And I made up my mind years ago. I told you guys this. It's kind of joking, but I'm a little bit serious about it. I'm gonna have fun pastoring if I have to kill every one of you. But I'm not letting people make my life miserable. I see pastors, their lives are miserable. I'm not letting people do that to me. I think you've already found that out, that you don't push me. I don't mean that mean, but I mean I'm not a doormat. You know what I mean? I'm a nice guy, right? That was a little weak. But you know what I'm saying? I've said, see, pastors let people just make their lives miserable. No, you're not doing that to me. And I'm not going to let the devil do it to me by pushing thoughts on my mind and irritating me. I don't have to think that. I don't have to think his thoughts, right? Right? You know, I don't have to think. You know, just because something comes into my mind doesn't mean I have to hang on to it. Because things are going to come into your mind. Bad things are going to come to your mind all the time. I mean, you know, you just drive down the interstate and there's going to be thoughts coming to your mind because you're going to see things, right? But you don't have to keep them, right? You know, Brother Hagin used to have a saying. I love this. He said, you know, thoughts may come and thoughts may go, but thoughts that aren't acted upon, they die unborn. And he used to say this. I don't know if this was original with him, but he's who I heard it from first. He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest on top of it. Which means you can't stop thoughts from coming, but you certainly can stop them from staying and dominating your life. Amen. And if we don't get this part right, what we're meditating on throughout the day, because we're all meditating, it just depends on what you just choose to meditate on. And the Bible says if you're going to have good success, how many want good success? You're going to have to meditate on the Word. You have to meditate on the things of God. Amen. And so we need to understand that about meditation, you know, that meditation is, it's filling yourself with things. It's filling yourself with the Word of God. It's filling yourself with good thoughts that are in line with the Word. Amen. Because, you know, as soon as you wake up, the devil will try to get a hold of your mind. Am I the only one that wakes up in the morning and sometimes Man, sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and there's like a stupid song in my head when I go into the bathroom. I'm like, where in the world did that come from? I mean, I haven't heard that in years. The other day, I don't know what it was. I think it was one of the older shows' theme songs got in my head. You know, I don't know, it was Gilligan's Island, you know. Sit right back and you'll hear a tale. Tale of a fateful trip, you know. I'm thinking, how did that get in there? Well, because your mind is a pretty intricate thing that God made, right? And it's stored in there. It's on the hard drive. And so, but you know, that really doesn't do much to start your day out, the Gilligan's Island theme song. I mean, there's no power in that. There's no blessing in that. I don't know if there's anything wrong with it, but it's just not doing anything for you. And so I don't even know if that was it, but there was one of those older shows, the theme song. Well, the devil tries to get a hold of your mind, because if he knows he can get a hold of your mind, he can keep your victory. Remember that madman of Gadara? How many remember him in the Bible? He was pretty messed up, wasn't he? And the Bible tells us what was wrong with him. It says when Jesus got done with him, he was sitting clothed and in his right mind. There's a lot of revelation there. People that are in their right mind put clothes on. I just thought I'd mention that. You know what I'm saying? You know, this idea, you know, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it does. God had some things to say about it. That the devil wants you to, you know, the devil wants you to strip off your clothes. Amen. Oh, well, all right. Now, did you find Psalm 104? All right, look with me, verse 34. The Bible says, this is the King James, my meditation of him shall be sweet. Now, the New King James says, may my meditation be sweet to him. I like that. In other words, God, our meditation should be, that we're thinking of throughout the day, it should be a sweet meditation. Now, you know, you choose. Now, listen, I don't know where you realize it, but you choose what you're going to think on. You choose it. Right. Well, I mean, what you're going to say, you can't necessarily choose what comes at you, but you can choose what you're going to think about, what you're going to meditate on during the day. And you can meditate on your problems. You can meditate on difficulties. You can meditate on wrong things, or you can meditate on good things. I was coming to church one Wednesday night a year or so ago, maybe a couple years ago, and I was just irritated. And I was irritated at some people. They weren't any people I even knew. I just read what they had said and did in the news. And they were irritating me. And I'm driving to church. And, you know, I'm not kidding you. The Lord spoke to me on the drive. He said, because he knew I was irritated with these people. And I don't even know these people. And yet it's irritating me and it's got me in a bad mood. And he said, why do you let these people in your head? You let them in there.
That's right.
Oh, I sure did, didn't I? I kicked them out right then. I was on Burkhart. I think I kicked them out at Vogel or something. Right around there, I kicked them out. You guys go walk. You're not going to church with me. How many of them know I'm telling this is a real thing? You know, you can get those thoughts get in there, and you start meditating, and all day long you're meditating on negative things. You're meditating on bad things. And you wonder why you don't have any joy?
Right.
You wonder why? See, that's why. God told Joshua, how many know Joshua could have meditated on the giants? I mean, he knew about the giants, didn't he? He was one of the spies that went over and saw them. And him and Caleb. And so he could have meditated, but God said, don't you do that. You meditate my word day and night. And that'll cause you to have success. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, so notice this. He said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. Or I like the New King James there. May my meditation be sweet to him. How many know we want what we're thinking of to be sweet to the Lord? Because we want his fellowship. We want him hanging around. Right? See, a man said this one time, a minister that I've known of for years, he said, He said, you know, I would hear how God would commune with different preachers, and they had an intimate, close relationship with him. And he said, I knew I didn't have that. And he said, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why don't I have a relationship like that, like some of these other ministers I know, friends of mine, have with you, this close relationship? And he said, this is honest. When you hear this, you'll know. He was just being honest. He said, the Lord spoke back to him. He said, well, I love you. He said, but I don't like you. All right. How many know loving and liking is two different things, right? You can love somebody, but maybe not like their personality. Amen. I've heard parents say they had one or two kids that they didn't like them. No, I'm not making this up. You know, they loved them, but they just didn't like them. It's like they're too much. I think the problem was they were too much alike. You know why you spank your kids? Because they're acting like you. I just thought I'd help you with that. Now, how many follow what I'm saying, that, you know, even though thoughts come, that doesn't mean we have to meditate on these negative things all day long. And by the end of the day, you're just beat down. Now look what he said. He said, may my meditation be sweet to him. Notice this, I will be glad in the Lord. That's connected. If your meditation is sweet to the Lord, you're going to be glad in the Lord. You're going to have gladness in your life. Amen? You know, people can get so caught up in the negative that they miss the positive. See, amen. You know, just you get one thing that you see that happens in marriages sometimes is you know, you get one thing that you don't like about the other one, and then you magnify that. I wonder why you have problems, you know. Well, I just wish they'd fix that. Well, there's probably things they wish you would fix. Can I have an amen? Amen. How many know that we've all got things we like to fix? See, there's certain things, you know, that, you know, well, praise the Lord. How many understand what I'm talking about? There, we've all got things about us that irritate somebody. And, you know, and if you just look at that, if you just focus on that, it's going to be hard to have a good marriage. Sometimes you got to realize. You know, I like something I heard Joyce Meyer say years ago. She was always trying to get her husband's name's Dave to not like sports. And you know, she would go to extremes to do it too. And said one day she came in there and he was cleaning his golf clubs. He was watching a football game and listening to a baseball or basketball game, and she realized this isn't working. Right? There's just some things you just need to just live with it. This is going over big. You just got to learn to live. Now, I'm not talking about abusive things or, you know, where they're wrong and mean and nasty and ugly. I'm not talking about that. But, I mean, there's just things that they like, personality quirks that are different. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Phyllis and I got different personality quirks, you know. You get in her vehicle, there's sticky notes all over the place, notes to do. I can't, it drives me crazy. I can't, but it's not my vehicle, so I just keep my mouth shut and for the most part, stay out of it. You get in mine, and if there's a piece of lint on the floor, I'm picking it up. I don't have any sticky notes anywhere. You know what I'm saying? But hers looks like a briefcase. It's clean. Now listen, man, it's clean, but all her stuff is in there. That's just not me. I don't flow that way. When I get in her car, I want to clean it all out. And it's not dirt. Don't misunderstand me. It's just her papers, her stuff. That's her office. I like mine to be more like a surgery room. Sterile, clean. But you know, I don't make a big deal out of that. Just as long as she doesn't do it to my truck, we're fine. Praise God. Amen. How many are following what I'm saying? I'm being funny. But how many know we all have differences? We all have. We can't sit around and magnify those things. And people meditate on things all day long that gets them in a bad mood. And you need to get your meditation right. Amen. You need to think about what you're thinking about. Look at Psalm 19. Go there, Psalm 19. Because everybody's different. You know what I'm saying? who's right, who's wrong. It's not a matter of who's right and who's wrong. We're just different. We're different. You know, some guys, you know, Phyllis could, she could decorate the house however she wants to. I really couldn't care and probably wouldn't even notice she changed anything until she told me. And she, because she'll get her hair cut, she'll say, "You didn't say anything about my hair." I said, "Well, you didn't say anything about mine when I got mine cut, so." I actually hadn't noticed yet, you know. Anyway, but you know, how many understand we're all made different, right? And you can magnify these things, you can magnify these differences, and the next thing you know, you got problems. Just let the other person be the other person. This is good preaching. And I'm not talking about let them be nasty, evil, do bad things. That's not what I'm talking about. But we've all got different personalities. Amen. Right? You know, I'm a guy there, you know, I want to be 15 minutes, 20 minutes early. She wants to be there 15 or 20 seconds early. But she'll say, "We're still there on time." Yeah, but that's not the way I flow, honey. So if we have to, we just drive to church separately. But we'll keep the peace. Praise God. Amen. Now, did you find Psalm 19? Amen. Verse 14. The Bible says this: "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Well, how many know not all words and not all meditation is acceptable in the sight of the Lord? See, some things aren't acceptable, so we have to watch what we're meditating on. It's not acceptable to God. God's not pleased with you meditating on negative things all day long. You know, about how bad it is and everything. You know, the world's always trying to get your mind anyway. How many know that? That's what advertising is for, to get your mind. You know what I'm saying? And usually it's way overplayed. Amen. You know, they tell you how great it is. It's the greatest. And, you know, you fall for that and you find out, yeah, it's just average, you know. And all. But the devil's the same way. He tries to get a hold of your mind. When you wake up in the morning, he tries to get a hold of your mind, get you to think on negative things, get you off, you know, over here somewhere, just upset about this or upset about that, because there's always going to be things that aren't right. Well, all right. You know, no, see, life's not perfect, right? So there's always going to be something. You get that new vehicle, you'll find something. There's something just not totally right with it. And you got to learn to, you know, live with it instead of just being upset all the time. Now, go to Philippians chapter 8. I hope you're getting something. I know this is Philippians chapter 8. Because it's important. Because we're thinking all the time. You know, people say, "Well, you know, what are you thinking?" And you ever heard somebody say, "Well, nothing." Well, that might be possible with Pastor Jerry, but not many people can just think on nothing. Or somebody says, "Hey, I'll give you a penny for your thoughts." You say, "Man, you're overpaying. You're overpaying." I honestly believe Pastor Jerry could be not thinking anything, you know. Amen. Now, how many know we're always got something going through our minds, right? We always do. And so we have to make sure that our meditation is right. Our meditation is good meditation. We're thinking according to the Word. We're not just meditating on the negative things that are going on all the time. You know, we're not just thinking about, you know, what needs fixed all the time. We're not just constantly thinking about that. But we're thinking about good things, because that's what the Bible says will cause you to be successful in life. In Joshua 1:8, is meditating on the Word, the good things, putting that inside of you, that'll cause you to have good success. And I think we all want that, right? Good success. And so that's the key. That's what God told Joshua. How many know if it was good for Joshua? How many know it's good today? It's still true today. So here in Philippians chapter 4, look with me. We've read this before, but we're going to read it again. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure." See, this is a checklist. "Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report." Everybody say good report. Good. if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think or meditate on these things. So here's a checklist of what we're to meditate on. Paul went on to say, verse 9, those things which you have both learned, received, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. We want that, right? We want the God of peace with us. But we gotta meditate, do what he said do, which is meditate on the right things. Think on the right things. I mean, the Bible has something to say about what we meditate on. And I'm not just talking about, sometimes we think about, well, we're meditating on evil things or bad things. You know, the Bible uses the word evil, or you can use the word bad things. Well, bad things really, you know, think about bad things. Bad things is really anything that doesn't line up with the Word. That's bad. You don't want to meditate on that. You don't want to think on that. You don't want to hold that in your mind. Amen. Because that your mind's like, this is a little dated, but your mind's like a slide projector. Remember years ago, we had the slide projectors. You put the slides in, and it rotated. Whatever you put in the slide projector shows up on the screen, doesn't it? See, that's the same way with your mind. Whatever you put in your mind shows up on the screen of your life. And you begin to, that's what begins to manifest in your life. It begins to control you. Now, listen, I've given you this illustration many times, but like I've told you before, the three-dimensional screen thing I went to see when I was a teenager. When I was 18 or 19, I went to see this thing in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and they showed you doing different things, you know, like skiing down a mountain and you'd hit a pole, driving a sports car and you'd rear end somebody, flying in a helicopter and doing things. One that stood out to me was on the roller coaster, and you're going real fast on this roller coaster and you go screaming around this corner. Now, me and two friends are there watching this, and it's just so realistic. It just, you know, you. I think maybe put these 3D glasses on, if I remember right, and we're standing up. It's a theater type building, but it levels out in the back like this platform, and we're standing there. And there's a bar there, and we're standing in, you know, in front of that bar, watching this on that screen. Now, when that roller coaster ran around that corner, I'm leaning like this. My friend over here, he's leaning, and my other friend over here, he's leaning. And we're on a level floor, and we're not going anywhere. But we grabbed onto the bar to keep from getting thrown off the roller coaster, because that had tricked my mind. See, and I that image, and it my mind told my body, lean, fool. There's a corner. Grab the rail. And I'm telling you, man, it was so realistic. But the truth was, we're on a level floor. We're not going anywhere. We're not doing it. I'm standing there just like I'm standing right here. But that had the power to do that. It didn't have the power to do that. And so I realized after I got saved, I realized, man, what you put in front of you, what you put in your mind really will affect your body. It will affect your life. It will have an effect. And people meditate on the wrong things all day long, and they're thinking about wrong things. They're thinking about what's not right, what's not going right, and all that, instead of thinking about the good things that the Bible says to think about. The Bible doesn't say think about the things that are going wrong. It says think about good things. Good report. Amen. Meditate on those things. That's what we're to keep in our mind. And that's why we have to watch what's going in. Remember the old computer thing? Years ago they used to say garbage in, garbage out, right? So you're beating on the computer, but all it's doing is what you put into it. I mean, you know, I've had, you know, issues with computers before, but it's what was put into that. Amen. You know, years ago I was in my office and I was banging on my computer and I was hitting it. And it really did a lot of good. It really, you know, really straightened right up after that. I mean, no, that didn't fix a thing. But I'm beating on it going, you Stone Age piece of junk. And, of course, Miss Phyllis, the confession cop, walks by and says, you have what you say. But how many know garbage in is garbage out? What you put in is what you get out. I've looked at some of my notes I put into my iPad, and there were mistakes. Now, it's not my iPad's fault. I'm the one that spelled the word wrong. Right? Not the iPad, see. Don't look so holy, like you've never spelled a word wrong. One of our presidents, I think it was William Taft, he said this. He said, it's a poor sort of a mind that can only think of one way to spell a word. I like you. Amen. We don't even say them all right. I mean, I got ways I say words I don't say them the right way. And people go, you don't always say that word right. Well, I know. There's more than one way to say it. I got a broader mind than you do. You read some of these Bible names, and let me tell you, pronounce some of them, you know. But anyway, see, what the garbage in, the garbage out thing, it works for your life. You put garbage in, what are you going to get out? You're going to get garbage. So if you sit around and meditate on garbage all day long, what's going to manifest in your life? Garbage. You're going to get garbage out. Amen. Maybe that's one of the reasons why Jesus said you need to be like little children. You know, if you ever come down for breakfast and your five-year-old's sitting there with a worried look on their face, and you say, honey, what's going on? Well, stocks are down today. I mean, they don't even think about it, right? They just figure El Shaddai and Jehovah Mama's going to supply, right? I don't ever remember having a thought as a kid, you know, wonder where the food comes from. Wonder why Dad works two jobs. I just thought he liked to work. He was out providing for the family. And one didn't quite do it enough, so he had two. And you didn't think about those things. You didn't worry about those things. You didn't worry about that. You know what I'm saying? You just expected to be there. You didn't sit around and meditate on negative, bad things all the time. Well, yeah, but that's a kid. I'm a grown-up, and I got problems. I got issues. Yeah, but you also got a God. Amen. Amen. And he said, don't worry about it. Didn't he? Yeah. He said, don't worry about it. They're interesting thing. You know, we have like with Jesus' life. How many remember Jesus? Okay. With his life, we have, you ever heard the phrase the silent years? You ever heard that? The silent years. What it means is the years that the Bible doesn't talk about what he was doing. You know, we know at 12 years old he was in the temple and astounding the doctors of the law, the Pharisees, the scribes. But from 12 till he entered his ministry at age 30, you don't hear what was going on. There's nothing recorded. Except There is in the book of Psalm, if you want to go there, Psalm 119, there's a prophetic psalm about what he was doing during those silent years that's in the Bible. Psalm 119. And I want to show you what he was doing in what we call the silent years, the years that we don't have any real record in the Gospels of what he was doing. But the psalmist, how many know some of the Psalms were prophetic? David would just, he's just writing along, and he's in Psalm 22, he goes, they pierced my hands and feet. Well, they didn't do that to David, but he's being prophetic. He's prophesying about the Messiah. The spirit of prophecy came on him. And he talked, you know, I think it might be one Psalm 37, maybe it is, or 34, I can't remember, where it talks about not a bone will be broken. Well, David just puts that out by the spirit of prophecy. Well, it turns out it was prophetic about Christ, about Jesus, that at the cross they didn't break a bone. Hallelujah. Every word came to pass about him. Well, here's one of those psalms in Psalm 119 and Psalm 97. It's actually a prophetic psalm portion. The part of the psalm here is prophetic about the Messiah, Jesus. In verse 97, it says, Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. So what was he doing during the silent years? He's meditating the word. Thou, through your commandment, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. How many know that's Jesus, right? I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Even at 12 years old, he was astounding the teachers. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Well, hang on, that's not David. I said, that's not David. David didn't keep his feet from every evil way. He was a man after God's heart, but we read about his failures. This is Jesus. I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. Well, we know David did, didn't he? He had to repent. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Well, the Bible says about Jesus in Hebrews 1:9, he hated lawlessness, iniquity. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So what was Jesus doing during those silent years? He was meditating the word of God. He was keeping his meditation right. That is why, listen now, in Luke 4, remember he came into the synagogue and he said, he found in Isaiah where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and so forth. Remember that? How many remember that scripture? Anybody remember that scripture?
Amen.
Well, if you don't, look it up. Luke 4, 16 through 21, he begins to talk about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring deliverance to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. In other words, I'm it. Well, there was a day, you have to understand this. This is really exciting. There was a day, listen now, let me back this up a little bit. How many know Jesus wasn't born with just the full knowledge of everything as God? He was God, but if you read Philippians 2 in the Amplified Bible, says he stripped himself of his power and glory. That doesn't mean he ceased being God. It just means he didn't use it when he was here on this, his God powers when he was here on this earth. He had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit like anybody else would have to be. I mean, God doesn't have to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. God is the Holy Spirit, right? But Jesus had to be anointed. Now, he didn't cease being God, but he didn't operate that way. He didn't operate by his God powers. That is plain as could be in the Bible. He said, I only do what my Father says to. So the Bible said he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He grew. Well, if you grow, that means you're not fully there. Is that right? So he was born a baby just like another baby. But he meditated the word of God, and there was a day. Listen now. There was a day when Jesus was meditating Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he realized, this is me. This is talking about me. He found himself in the Word. Now, I believe if you meditate the Scriptures, you're going to find yourself in there because you're in there also. What do I mean? Who you are and what you have. You find that in there. If you meditate, and you can be like Jesus and say, this day, this Scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Hallelujah. I think that's exciting that we can find ourselves in the Word. Amen. All right, we got a little bit of time here. Why don't we go to, we're in Psalm, so we're close. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Are you getting anything tonight?
Yes.
Isaiah 55. Just a little teaching on your daily meditation. What are you meditating on throughout the day? What are you allowing yourself to think about? How many of you got to catch yourself? Sometimes you're thinking about things that's not fruitful. You have to catch yourself and realize this isn't helping. Amen. Because the devil will get involved in that. Right? You have a little stomach pain, the devil will say cancer. Won't he? Sure. He'll always make it bigger than it is. Right? And all it is you shouldn't have ate all those pepperonis. But the devil will have you, you know what I'm saying? Amen. Or you go to see the doctor and he's examining, he's going, I mean, the devil's telling you all kinds of things. He's finding all kinds of bad things in you. And he gets done and says, you're the finest specimen I've ever seen. All right. Amen. You know, the devil, I remember in years ago in ministry, the devil tried to attack me. What if everybody leaves the church? What if everybody leaves the church? What if they all get mad and leave? I've had sermons where I thought we almost got there. Well, you know, and finally, you know, I don't get that any longer, but, you know, this was years ago, you know. What if everybody leaves? I mean, man, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And finally I said, you know what, devil, I started with my wife and my Bible. And I still got both of those. I think I'll be fine. Amen. And, you know, that seemed to work. I remember in the beginning days, you know, we'd have a Sunday morning and we were in that first building and we didn't have very many chairs set up, you know, but some Sunday mornings would be like filled up, and the next Sunday morning, it didn't take much to fill it up, but the next Sunday morning it'd be like, where'd everybody at? And then you'd have a Sunday morning, it's filled up, and after you pastoring for this many years, I've just learned that's just part of it. That never changes. I heard a guy say, he said, my church grows by 500 people every other Sunday morning. I thought, well, you know, you just never know. Well, so, you know, I would be up, I would be down. You know, if we had a big crowd, it's like, man, we got to lunch. Because in those days, we didn't have near as many places to go to lunch in those days. You know, we were over in Newburgh, and, you know, we ate Chinese every Sunday, you know. They had a nice Chinese restaurant. It was good. And we'd go there, you know. And, you know, it just depends. And finally, the Lord said to me, he said, why don't you, listen to this. He said, why don't you, this will help you. Why don't you just shepherd what shows up? I thought, well, I can do that. I can't shepherd what doesn't show up. Why worry about that? Be concerned about that. Just shepherd what shows up. Amen. Well, see, the devil tries to inject in your thought life. You gotta fight it. Amen. We'll talk about that in just a moment. We're gonna close here in just a minute. But look at this in Isaiah, if you found it, 55, go there. And verse number 7, the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I mean, we need to forsake our thoughts. For verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So see, thoughts become ways. For if you think something long enough, how many know that's going to become a way in your life? I was reading this thing. This was something. They had this was an experiment they were doing, and they had this chimpanzee, and he was raised around human beings, you know, he'd see himself in a mirror and stuff like that, so he knew what he looked like. You know, chimps are pretty sharp, and he knew what he looked like. And I was reading this article about this guy, this little guy, and he thought he was a human. He'd never been around other chimps. He'd just been around humans. He thought that's what he was. And so they said in this experiment, they would take pictures of chimpanzees and humans. And they had a picture of him in with the chimpanzees, his own picture. And they said, this little guy would get those pictures and they would, you know, mix them all up, you know, put them in front of him. He'd get the humans out and put them in one pile and the chimpanzees in another pile. This is an amazing thing. And I said, but when he came to his picture, he'd put it in with the humans. Because he had been thinking that way for so long, he was convinced that was what he was. And that's what happens. If the devil can get a hold of your mind, he can convince you that things can never change, never be different because of your meditation. But you got to learn to think different. You got to think, I'm not a chimpanzee. I'm born again. Amen. Look this at, let's finish this out, and then I want to look at one more scripture. I hope you're getting this tonight. He says, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So how many know we want the highways, right? We want the high thoughts, not the low thoughts. And God, see, if you think like everybody else, the Bible says to think carnally minded is death. You don't have to think like the rest of the world thinks. God's given us something higher. Amen. Now, look at this, and we'll close, I think, right here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Yeah, I know we looked at some scripture tonight, but I want to challenge you. I do. What's what you're meditating on? Your daily meditation literally determines your life. It does. It determines what you're going to have in life. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God." So we got a warfare, right? To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So part of our warfare is to make sure we bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. In other words, part of our job is to not let thoughts remain in our mind that don't belong there. We got to. That's a warfare. I mean, that is a warfare. Because the devil will contest you there. So you see, you've got to fight that warfare. See, Paul said it like this. He said, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, the power of love, and a sound mind. That word sound mind means a disciplined mind. How many know we need to discipline our mind? We need to train it. You have to train it. You got to work at this. You got to train it to think the right thoughts. When it starts thinking on wrong thoughts, you got to bring it into cap. You got to bring those thoughts into captivity, cast those down. Amen. And say we don't think that way. That's not the way we think. We don't think we're not going to make it. We don't think all these negative things. I'm not saying we're denying reality. I'm saying we're thinking in line with what God told us to think, which are good thoughts. And so we have to have you need to discipline your mind. You can't just let your mind think anything at once and have a disciplined mind. Just like, how many know you can't let your child do anything it wants to and have a disciplined child? That doesn't work. You got to discipline and train them. Amen. And so your mind's the same way. See, one of the things where Paul said that, you know, where he said God's given us a sound mind. When you look that up in the Greek, and this is really interesting, that word sound mind there, it means a disciplined mind, but it also in the Greek means safe thinking. Safe thinking. Now that tells me there's some thinking that's not safe for you. Why do people commit suicide? Because they've got unsafe thinking. They're not thinking right. Think about it. What they did didn't solve anything. If you don't know the Lord, it made it worse. If you do know the Lord, you're probably up for rebuke when you get to heaven. If you get there. So what caused this? What causes people to take their life? Their thinking's not, they're not thinking right. Right? See, their thinking has to be changed. Now, what can you do? Well, what the world does is give them drugs. So it numbs their mind. Right? Well, I mean, that's not the answer. I said, that's not the answer. The answer is change your thinking. The answer is renew your mind with the Word of God. Amen. You know, sometimes young people take their lives because, you know, their boyfriend or their girlfriend broke up with them. Now, I mean, that's really dumb because there's 4 billion other women on the planet. Some of you are like, what are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm just simply saying the devil will tell you, you can't live without them. You know, the love of your life just left you, you know. Well, you know, and they're just young teenagers. You know what I'm saying? That happens where they take their life. You know, I couldn't get a date for the prom and killed yourself. Really, I'm serious. This stuff happens. And it's like, you talk about warped thinking. They're just not thinking right, because who cares about the Philistine dance? So it's just a bunch of Philistines getting together and dancing, that's all. I missed them both. I never went to a prom. I got invited. I got asked out to the prom. I turned her down. Sorry, I don't do Philistine dances. No, I didn't know. I wasn't saved in those days. Some people meant something to me. It was just stupid, just dumb. I have to spend money to do this. I'm not. No, let's just buy some drugs and booze. Sit on the back of a tailgate somewhere. All right, that was my thinking in those days. All right, that's just my thinking. But you understand what I'm talking about is that's just wrong thinking. They take their lives over things like that, and you know, the thing of it is, you know, it's like a lot of times people take their lives and just if they just waited just a few days, it all clears up. So she broke up with you. Wait till your 50-year class reunion and you see her, and you'll probably be glad she broke up with you, or him too. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? I was at the hospital and talking to a lady that I knew that was in my class. Well, no, I think she was a year younger than me or two. But anyway, we knew one another. I think her brother's in my class. And she's talking about working on the 50-year class reunion, you know. It's like, I don't even want to see it. I don't even want to see how bad they all look. I still look good. Hallelujah. I just don't want to depress them. I'm as humble as Mason is. I asked him tonight, I said, "You still the best drummer in church?" He goes, "Yep." I said, "Well, humility is one of your qualities. You get that from your dad, I can tell that." I mean, that's a good place to stop, right? I got a hand clap. I said a bunch of good things tonight, and that's the first hand clap I got tonight. Everybody said, "Well, there's some truth, all right?" Close your Bible. This was a mess tonight. I hope you got something out of it. It is really important, though, that we check our daily meditation. The devil can really... You know, he can really get you down. He can really depress you if you'll think his thoughts. And that's what he'd like to do. You know, but just learn to think good thoughts, right thoughts. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if somebody slaps you, just say, "I think your hand slipped." You know, think good thoughts. Did your hand just slip? I've had people give me the finger, and it's like, that's just a nervous reaction. Yeah. Phyllis said it's their IQ, one, you know. See, if you learn to think this way, the devil can't get you down. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but, you know, you can think about that. Oh, man, they flipped me off, you know. Let that ruin your whole day. You know, people, don't go to that level. Don't go there. Right? Or they cuss me out. Right? People cuss you out sometimes. You know, say things that you don't hear in Sunday school. Why don't you say, "Look, you know what? You know why you're cussing? Cussing is a limited mind trying to express itself. Your mind's real limited. You can't think of anything else to do but say something like that." So God's always got a positive, doesn't he? Yep. Amen. And when all the world, you know, all this negative stuff that's going on, don't let that get in your mind. Don't let that be your meditation. Let your meditation be sweet to him. Like we read in Psalm 104. Let your meditation be sweet. What am I meditating? You got to think about this. I have to think about this. What am I meditating on? Phyllis can tell when I'm meditating on the wrong things because, you know, yeah, I get a little edge about me. And she goes, "What?" You know, like I've said before, she said, what have you been doing? Well, I'm busted, you know. And what have you been doing? Because she knows that's not normally me. I'm normally, you know, I'm normally like syrupy sweet. Everybody's favorite, you know. And I'm like, "I mean, where's the sugar?" And she goes, "Oh, what you been doing?" "No, I don't do that. although I don't know where the sugar's at. I couldn't find the sugar. We moved this house years ago. I couldn't find the sugar for the first 4 months. It was 4 months before I found where the sugar was at. She said, well, you reach by it every day when you get in the pantry. Anyway, stand up, everybody. Did you get something? All right, we're going to close this out. Probably should have 20 minutes ago. But anyway, how many got something out of this? Really, you do. I mean, we've been having some fun here, but you got to think about what you're thinking about. You got to think about what you're meditating on during the day, because it can mess your life up. It can keep you from having the joy and the peace that God wants you to have. It can keep you from having the good success that God told Joshua. When you just think about, you know, what all could go wrong. How about think about what could go right? What is going right in your life? Amen. It's like one brother said, you know, you got one bad leg. Well, thank God you got one good one that's still working. You got one bad hand, thank God you got a good one that's still working. You got one bad finger, thank God you got nine more that's working. Don't meditate on that. Well, you know, hey, I got this one finger over here. How about meditating on the good ones? Let God fix the bad one. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.